Good morning. For this morning's message, I've given it a title, and that is Still as a Stone. And the thought behind this is that sometimes we just need to be still and wait on God and allow God to be our personal God in and through us. Many times we don't do that. So I want to try to encourage us to think about it a little bit. A lot of times we go to God and we ask Him for information, whether we should do something or not, or go someplace, or whatever the circumstances are. Unfortunately, many times we want to either do something or not do it. So because of our flesh, we have a tendency of leaning instead of really fully looking to God as black and white, either this or that God. In our heart, we're already wanting this, really. So when we come to God and we ask Him, God, what do you have for me to do? A lot of times what we do is we pick the one that we think is best for us. And unless God takes a meteorite from heaven and throws it into the path to stop us, guess which way we usually go? We prayed about it. But who actually, many times, does the choosing? We do. But we convince ourselves and we convince others. Well, I prayed about it, and this is what I came up with. A lot of times we let our flesh in the way. And unfortunately, that's not what God is intending. Unfortunately, we can't totally get rid of it. Why? Because we're still living in our flesh. But it's something I think we need to be aware of. I'm quite sure that I've done this myself, and I'm sure if I've done it, it's probably common to you as well. So that's what we want to look at. The first thing we need to do is to be honest with God. God knows our heart. He knows that we're already leaning one way in many cases. Be honest with Him. God, You know my heart. You know I'm leaning this way. But I want You to be my God. And I want You to choose. Another thing that we do in this, along this same line, is we pray about something, and if God doesn't give me the answer in 30 seconds, I'm running the way I want it to go. That happens a lot. But, you know, sometimes we just need to be still as a stone, don't move, and wait. Patience is not something that is real easy for any of us. But that's what God is looking for. Are we going to allow God to be God? So if you would you turn to 1 Samuel? We're going to look at chapter 9. We're going to look at several instances where the Bible talks about standing still, being still. Chapter 9, verse 25 is where we'll get started. First Samuel 9:25 says, "And they were come down from the high place into the city. Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house." Now I want to remind you, we looked at a little bit of this during the Christmas season. The common house there was not like our houses. It was pretty small. The first floor was meant to keep their animals, what few animals most people had. So it was basically like a small barn. And the living quarters were above that. We often read about the upper room. The upper room is the living quarters. It's not an attic like what we would think of. It's an upper room. That downstairs was where the animals stayed. The upper room is where people lived. Now, they also had actually for a roof, many people used that like a terrace. You would go up there and dry fruits and that type of thing. You could go up there in the evening and get the breeze on top of the roof, like a patio up there. That was the common construction amongst those in Israel. So it says that Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. They were up on the roof, up on the patio, as it were. That's where they would commune, discuss things. Verse 26, and they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, and Samuel abroad. The word abroad there means to be separated, to separate by a wall, to be outside, outdoors, and to be separated. Verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now remember, the show there means to put on exhibit. I will display it to you, the will of God. Saul was to be still, patient, and know what the will of God was. Saul had no input or say. It was to be God's will, not his. How much of the time do we spend being still as a stone, patiently waiting for God to answer our prayer? I would guess we don't do that very often. I'm not talking about a two-minute prayer just before I run off to work, or something to that matter, but rather a real quiet time. Just be still, talking with God, and be impatient until he answers. I'm afraid today that many believers spend little time actually doing this, being quiet, and allow God to be God. If you would, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Verse 16. Ruth 3:16. And the Bible says, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, that's Naomi, sit still. That term there means to dwell, to remain, to abide, be patient, sit still. Don't make any rash moves, just be still. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest. Notice Ruth was to dwell and to rest and to abide. Whereas Boaz, a picture of Christ, would not rest. He would be active. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Ruth was patient and waited to see what the Lord's will was. I don't think we do that very well. I know sometimes I get impatient. I'm sure if I do, some of you may do the same. Most of the time, we pray, we want God to answer like we were going to a fast food restaurant. I order and within seconds, I want my results. We're somewhat demanding. We may not come out and say it, but that's really what we want. I prayed about this 30 seconds ago. Where's my answer? If you would, slide down to Ruth 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now it's Boaz's turn. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. He sat. You're not running around when you sit. And behold, the kinsman whom Boaz spake came by. God was setting the stage. He was sitting there, and God was putting the meeting together. Now, I'm sure Boaz knew that this gentleman would be, very well could be by, but God set the stage for the meeting. The kinsman of who Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Boaz also sat to see if the Lord would work it out for him as well. Are you still as a stone, allowing the Lord to be God in your life? Or are we quick to make a choice ourselves and then say, "Oh, we prayed about it, but I already knew which way it was going to go." We won't tell people that. We're Christians. We're supposed to pray. So I pray and then I choose. Or I choose, then I pray. Probably more like it. Fortunately, that happens, I think, more than what we would like to admit to ourselves. Now, I want to make one thing clear. I am not speaking to any one of you, okay? I did not have somebody in mind say, "Oh man, I'm going to get him." No, that is not. In my studies, this is what God gave me, okay? So if this is irritating you a little bit, you're going to have to ask the Lord to help you with it, because he's the one who gave it to me, okay? And I didn't have any one person in mind when I did this. So please don't be thinking that. We don't want to think of ourselves in this kind of light. I'm a Christian. Of course I pray and I ask God to work out details, to make a choice for me. In a reality, a lot of times we're the ones who make the choice. And I prayed about it. I remember years ago, I can remember the conversation, but I can't remember exactly who it was. There was a gentleman that claimed to be saved and was thinking about divorcing his wife. I prayed about it. Let me tell you something. There's no reason to pray when it comes to things that the Bible is clear on. If the Bible says, "Don't you do it," the answer is, don't you do it. Don't even bother praying. God has already told us what to do. But yet people do that. "Well, I've got a special case. I'll pray. Maybe God will yield for me." No, God's word is consistent from day one until he puts time to bed. God is always consistent. And if he says don't do something, that means don't do it. There's no sense in praying about it. Because if when you pray and you come up with any other answer than what this book says, God didn't make that choice. You did. Unfortunately, it is easy for us to make these kinds of errors. We're still in the flesh and we are very self-absorbed. We look at everything from our own perspective many times. And then we hide behind prayer. Well, I prayed about it. Sounds good. If you really prayed about it, and you really left the choice to God, then it is good. But more times than not, I think, many times, we already know what the answer is before we go to prayer. And unless the Lord takes a meteorite and throws it down right in front of us to block the path, that's the direction we're going. And God does not normally do that. A lot of times, he'll say, you already made the choice. Why are you asking me? You want to go that way, but you're going to pay the consequences. And a lot of times, we pay the consequences. I don't understand. I prayed about it. Yeah. Yep. You may have prayed about it. But you also, more than likely, did the choosing before you ever even prayed. If you would, turn to Joshua chapter 3. Verse 7, Joshua 3, 7. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Remember, the word know is not just the intellectual type knowing. It's to know in a personal way, intimately, deeply. They're going to have a very good understanding. They are going to know that I am with you. Absolutely know. Verse 8. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. What are they waiting for? To hear from God. They were to be still as a stone until God instructed them by way of Joshua. Joshua was God's man. Verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. They stood still at the water's edge until the Lord instructed them as what to do. Now you can bet with all of their stuff that they had, carts, whatever, to get across. They weren't about to go up to the water's edge and just start trampling through a river to get to the other side. A lot of times we do that. Well, I got to go over there. Why pray about it? I'm just going. And we do that. But they waited. They stood. And they waited on God. And at the appropriate time, God rolled the waters back. Slide down to verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles, the very bottom of the feet, the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Now, you know what? I have read this and I have preached on this several times, the same verse. And just the other day when I was reading this, is the first time that I noticed that the God of earth was in the waters. That's what it says. He shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. God was in the miracle to save his people. Here the water even stood still and piled up in a heap. Now, do you remember when we looked at this, and actually Pastor did it, I think on a Sunday night, talking about Jordan. And the word Jordan in the Hebrew means water that flows down and the word judgment, the two together. So you've got water that flows down, a river, rivers of judgment, waters of judgment. Christ is, he was in the waters. He held the judgment back so that his people could go and cross forward into the promised land. When the Lord was on earth, his life was cut off to redeem us into glory with safe passage. He holds the judgment back that his people may cross over safely. If you would, go to Joshua chapter 4. Verse 5. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. Excuse me. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now they were to take 12 stones and they put them in the river. Then they carried 12 stones from the river and they put it on the land. And they built a little pile of stones as a memorial, so that others can look and see and say, what happened? It's a memorial. Guess how much stones move when you pile them up? They don't. Those stones were to be a memorial. It should be evident to people around us that we pray and we wait, still as a stone, waiting for God. We're a testimony, we're a memorial to those around us to be still and know that he is God. Many times we're in way too much of a hurry. Many times we're way too impatient. And we get impatient, and then I'll repeat, we think we did it right. I prayed about it, I made the decision, and I went ahead and did it. And many times we're going on our own emotion, what we want to do, not necessarily what the Lord would have for us. Why? Because we're not patient. We're not sitting still as a stone and allow God to be my God in my life. Why? Because we like to, unfortunately, we like to do things our own way. And yet we do it and we hide behind prayer many times. I don't know how this turned out to be such a mess. I prayed about it.
Yep.
If you would, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 9. We'll start in verse 4. Numbers 9, 4. And the Bible says, "And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover." They needed the sacrifice of God's protection because they were dirty and contaminated by the world and their own desires, just like we get. And they were instructed to keep the Passover, God's grace. Verse 5, "And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they should not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, 'We are defiled by the dead body of a man.'" They were contaminated, dirty. "Wherefore are we kept back?" They stayed back. They didn't get involved. "That we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel." So what did Moses do? The next verse. "And Moses said unto them, 'Stand still, be patient, don't get in a hurry, just wait. And I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Quiet your heart, be still as a stone, and wait on the Lord.'" Now, he was telling them to be still and to know in a personal way, an intimate way in your own heart, that he is indeed God. God's staff will guide. Verse 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity," means age, generation, we may say dispensation at that appointed time, "shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord." Again, they needed the sacrifice of God's protection, even though they were contaminated. Actually, it's not because they were contaminated. I mean, even though they were contaminated, they were contaminated just like us. Without Christ in the heart, we're not clean. Not at all. We need the sacrifice to not be contaminated. We're not told how long they had to wait exactly, if it was just a few moments or a few hours. It might have been right up to the last second before he answered. But having patience is not something that is easy for us. If you would now look at Exodus chapter 15. We'll start in verse 14. "The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. In Strong's, that means rolling or migratory.
It's a region of Syria. Verse 15, then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. They'll be astonished. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be still as a stone. They won't move till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Moab might have had some mighty men, but our Lord made them still as a stone in fear. They didn't try to run off and try to do their own thing. They were stayed put. The Lord would not let them make any movement until his people passed through. They were unmovable, still as a stone. Verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The word plant here is the same word that is used when God says he planted a garden. Here it means actually to transplant, to place Israel at a given location. He brought them out of Egypt and planted them in Canaan, the place that God dwells in. Now, as for the word mountain in this verse, implant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. It was thought in that day that the best and most effective way to worship a God, little g, as well as God, big G, was from a mountaintop to go up towards God, to look up. Many times we read about groves. And these groves, what the groves are, you can think of a totem pole. There are carvings of idols. They would sit upright. And it's not usually like one here and one on that mountain. No, it would be like a small group of trees or an orchard where you have several like trees, a small orchard. So you go up there and there might be six or eight of these small gods, small g gods, and they would worship. When Moses met with God, where did he go? Up the mountain. Many times God said, come on up, let me talk to you. He went up the mountain. That was their thinking. And plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. God would bring them up closer to him, a place of worship, a place that God was made for God to dwell in the sanctuary, which God's hands have established. In verse 17 there, I see two images. First, Israel being planted in the promised land, or transplanted. And also an image of heaven for the redeemed. The redeemed church age saints. With that in mind, I'll reread it. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place where God is. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And then it says, verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. If you would, turn to the book of Job in closing. Chapter 2. We'll look at four verses here somewhat quickly. Job 2:2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, trying to secure his territory and his people, fighting for the hearts of men to worship him. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, if you would, go forward to Job 37:12. Says, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He caused it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still. Don't move, Job. And consider the wondrous works of God. Oh, that we had a heart like Job, one that fears the Lord, that hates evil, full of integrity, even when the gates of hell are against us. Waiting like Job on our Lord to help us, patiently, still as a stone, allowing God to be my God in my life. Not just words, but actually him being my God and I being his love slave, as it were. May we close. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you for your word, our God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, that, Father, as we bring decisions to you, that, Father, if we have already chosen what we want, that we would confess that to you and still have a desire for you to choose. Because, my God, we know you know what tomorrow holds for us, and we have no idea. My Lord, may we be patient. Help us to be still as a stone and wait. Lord, no matter how long it takes. My God, sometimes you even let us choose as long as we are looking to you fully with our whole heart. Like a little child, Father, you tell us, well, go ahead and choose whatever you want and I'll bless it. Lord, sometimes you do that for us and we thank you. Lord, help us not to be fleshly, but to be godly, full of integrity, for your holy name's sake. Our God, we pray that you would be with our pastor in the hour to come. Give him all that he needs, Father, to speak to us from heaven. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.